Hello, hello, and welcome back to Santana's Nerve Flow Podcast. I'm your host and the captain of the ship, Santana. So we're back at it again, another episode of House of the Dragon, HBO's Game of Thrones House of the Dragon. We're at season 2, episode 2, and the title of the episode is Rhaenyra the Cruel. Now let's get into it. So this episode was coming off of the season premiere, at which at the end of the episode, Blood and Cheese, they killed the 4-year-old prince, Aegon's son. So that's where we start off this episode, right after that happens. And the Red Keep is just all in a mess. The knights they're gathering up all the people from the castle. Aegon's going crazy. Helaena's going crazy as well. And it's turmoil inside the castle. They're trying to figure out what happened. Everyone's scared. And had a pretty cool little intro. I mean, not cool. They were coming off of a 4-year-old getting his head chopped off, but like an interesting intro. Had a cool like piano keys going on while everything was going on. It kind of felt like a horror movie, to tell you the truth. Like you're waiting for the big bad monster to pop out, or like a ghost to pop out, and there's really no dialect. It's just you see everyone running around, and you see like the house, not the housekeepers, whatever they are, the maids of the castle, they're cleaning up the babies, not the baby, like I said, he's a 4-year-old. It was a 4-year-old, RIP the young prince. But they're cleaning up his bed, they're taking out the mattress and the sheets, they're all stained with blood. And then you have Kristen Cole just staring at it, and to his credit, he feels bad that it happened under his watch when he was getting on with the prince's grandmother. you kind of see in his face that he knew he fucked up. He should have been there, or at least had a guard stationed there, but he's too preoccupied, like I said, getting on with Allison. And like I said, that's how the episode begins. And then we see Blood, the bigger guy from Blood and Cheese. He's caught by Laris and his people, and he's in the dungeon. And right away, he squeals. He's like, "Well, we were hired by Daemon Targaryen." The other guy, I don't know his name, but he's a rat catcher. Whatever you need, I'll jump sides. And this big bad tough guy, he used to be a member of the royal guard and whatnot, and he cut off 4-year-old's head, and he folded real fast just to try to save his own life. And at the end, that didn't really work, because Aegon comes in, and once he gets the information he needs, he just bashes this fool's head in with a scepter. I mean, you can't blame Aegon. Like, his son was just murdered inside the castle in his own bed, so you can't really blame him for doing that. So like I said, this is the aftermath from the big incident with Blood and Cheese and the young prince. So while everyone's in mourning, Aegon, Helaena, Allison, they're all in mourning. They're all upset, which they should be. Otto Hightower's already scheming away. And like, that's your grandson, but he's thinking more of the political game here. I'm sure he feels bad. Like I said, that is his grandson, but this is all about the realm to him, all about security of the realm and his and the rest of the family. So his suggestion is to basically like parade the young dead prince around the city all the way up to the Dragon Keep, so they can bury him, or not bury him, they burn them with fire, a pyro burial, I guess. So that's his idea, to get sympathy for the crown and for the greens, and have like the people just turn on Rhaenyra and see how cruel she is, saying that she's the one who did this and this is by her command. Which at the end of the day, it was a smart political move, but damn, Otto, that was kind of cruel there. Even Aegon's like, I'm not gonna parade my son around the city. That'll make me look weak and whatnot. And Otto, he has it his way. That leads to a pretty tense scene where it's the young prince in a carriage, and they sewed his head back to the body, like no cover. They just have him all open on the carriage. Then you have Allison and Helaena in the front of the carriage, and they're going through the city to get to the Dragon Keep. And then they hit like a pothole, and the wheel gets stuck in it. And while the knights are trying to get the wheel out and get the wagon going, God, I really thought that little kid's head was gonna pop off. Like Game Game of Thrones. This is Game of Thrones. That's something they would do. So it was kind of tense there. And I was like, oh, shit, it's going to fall off. But at the end, it didn't fall off there. But we get the wagon going. But Helena starts freaking out because all the town folk come in close. And they're telling her their condolences and whatnot. But she just lost her son. And she gets like dreams and she gets premonitions. And she kind of has like a panic attack on there, and supposedly she sees the future, and some people are saying that she saw like way down the future to where Daenerys and Drogon like burned down the King's Landing and whatnot. I think she just had a panic attack, and I mean, it's nothing out of the blue. Like I said, she just lost her son, and she could have been killed as well as her daughter also. They're all in the room when Blood and Cheese came in. And then after that tense scene, there were a couple other, I'm not gonna say cool, but they were pretty satisfying scenes. Different conversations with different people, like when you have Rhaenyra with her council, and they're letting her know that everyone's blaming her, or not everyone, like the Greens are blaming her on this, and she's like, I would never do that. Like, I just lost a kid. Like, why would I do that to Helena? She's my sister, and she's saying like she's an innocent, but her council telling like. Like they're basically believing it. And she's like, no, send ravens and let them know it wasn't me. And then you have Damon in the background, just like, he's not really seeing anything. He's just looking around, kind of has a little smirk on, like, it's kind of done already. Until finally
Do you like video games, podcasts, and reminiscing? I'm actor, video game writer, and total sweetie pie, Connor Savage McCabe, and on each episode of Call Me By Your Game, I sit down with a guest for an intimate look at a special game from their past. Did you and your dad beat Spyro the Dragon over the holidays? Or was Halo 4 the one thing that united your roommates during your senior year of college? Stories like these are what Call Me By Your Game is about. From video game content creator Janet Garcia to Hades voice actor Courtney Venaise, I interview wonderful comedians and game industry friends about these memories. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts, and maybe someday you'll call me by your game.
Rhaenys already knows. She's looking right at Damon, and she's with them eyes like, you son of a bitch. And then Rhaenyra finally, she realizes, man, it was Damon who gave the order. So we have a scene after that between Rhaenyra and Damon. Lovers quarrel, if you want. Have an argument, and Damon says, look, I didn't give the order to kill the kid. I gave an order to kill Aemon. And Rhaenyra's like, but you went behind my back and this and that, and I can't trust you. And basically tells him that like she never really trusted him, but now like it's 100% she don't trust him, and he's ruining this battle and everything for her. And Damon's like, look, what was done is done. It's not my fault. Like, they made a mistake. They killed the wrong person. But I specifically told them to kill Aemon Targaryen, the dude with one eye. And if they killed another kid, that's not on me. You scoundrel, man. And then they continue arguing until Damon basically says, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm bouncing, like I'm tired of sitting around, I'm gonna go take Harrenhal. And that's basically what he does, because later you see him on his dragon with all geared up with his knight's armor on and knight sister at his side, man. He takes off, and it's pretty badass, I'm not gonna lie. And he heads out to Harrenhal to go take back Harrenhal. Like I said, there was a couple good scenes throughout that really were conversations. Like, we had that one with Damon and Rhaenyra, and later on we have a conversation between Kristen Cole and one of the Erics, one of the twins, the one that's on the green side. I can't remember if it's Eric or Arik, whichever one that stayed with the Greens. And Kristen Cole, at this point, he's the captain of the Kingsguard, so Eric works for him, whichever one it is, Eric or Eric. And he basically accuses him of either being an involved in what happened to the prince, or just like not being there when he should have been. And then Aerie, he don't take it. He step up and he's like, well, where the hell were you that night? Like, you're the captain of the Kingsguard. Like, what are you blaming me for? You should have put someone there. So, I mean, Eric, the twins, they're both men of honor. I think that's why that Eric stayed with the Greens, because he pledged himself to the king. And at that point, Aegon was the king, and the other Eric, he left because for his honor, he felt that Rhaenyra was next in line to be king or queen, so he followed her. So they're both following their own code of honor, like I said. So they have a little spat until eventually Christian Cole tells him, look, this is how we're gonna fix this. You're gonna go sneak back to Dragonstone, you're gonna pretend to be your twin brother, and you're gonna kill Rhaenyra, and then you can come back. And if you don't do that, I'll go talk to the king, and we'll see how he feels about you not being on duty when his son was killed. And Eric, he protested, but he's like, I mean, if that's what you need me to do, that's what I'm gonna do. So he heads out to go take care of his mission, his assassination mission. So from there, you have another scene later on with King Aegon, Otto Hightower, and Kristen Cole. And this is when Otto realizes that Kristen Cole has sent one of the twins to go pretend to be the other twin to kill Rhaenyra to get the payback, the revenge. And Otto's not having it. He's like, man, you fell for this prank by this dumbass. I mean, Otto, he's basically had enough of it. Enough of the bullshit. He's calling both of them out on all their shit. I mean, it's pretty funny, I'm not gonna lie. He's talking down to Kristen Cole. He's talking down to the king, and Kristen Cole's like, you better watch how you're talking to the king. I was like, the king is my grandson, bitch. Like, I'll talk to him however I want. It gets a little tense there, but Otto, I mean, not for nothing, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Otto, but he stands his ground. Like, he stood his ground against Rhaenyra, against Daemon, against Aegon. Like, he stands his ground. If he believes in something, he ain't gonna back off. He don't care who you are, even if you have a dragon right at his face or a sword at his neck. Like, he really doesn't give a shit. Like, that's one thing I can say about Otto that I can respect that. It's like I said, he's talking shit about them. Aegon basically says, look, you were my dad's hand of the king, and you were my grandfather's hand of the king. Not my grandfather, it was his uncle, I think, his grand uncle or whatever. He's like, but you're not my hand of the king, so I think it's time for you to bounce. Your services are no longer needed. Otto gets fired for the second time as hand of the king. And I don't think he's gonna get the job back this time. And Otto's like, look, you're only king because I made you king. And Aegon's like, no, that's not what my father had wanted. And Otto just starts laughing, like, come on, like, really, like, let's get the facts straight here. Like, you're on that throne because of me, bitch. And then, like I said, he's basically terminated. And then Aegon appoints Kristen Cole as the new hand of the king. Kristen Cole, at first, he has a look like, whoa, me? Shit. like just confused. And then he's like, fuck it. He rolls with it. He's like, all right. And Otto just looks at him like Tweedledee and Tweedledum over here. And he basically takes off. He's like, I ain't dealing with this shit no more. And I mean, this duel of King Aegon and Hand of the King, Kristen Cole, like, it seems like it's going to be a pretty bad combination for the rest of Westeros. Like I said, Otto bounces. He goes talks to Allison, and he's like, man, I can't deal with this shit no more. I'm going to head back to Old Town. I'm going to go hang out for your other son, the youngest son. That guy will listen to me. I'm like, who the fuck is this other son? Like, where the hell was he last season? I guess he was always at Old Town. And I guess he has a dragon over there also, so it's kind of interesting. Like, these Targaryens keep popping up out of nowhere. But I guess that's how Game of Thrones is. Like, a brother will show up, a sister will show up, a wife, a husband, a cousin. Like, they just show up out of the blue. So then we have a scene back at Dragonstone. Like, the episode keeps going back and forth between Dragonstone and King's Landing, which I would imagine that's how the rest of the season is going to go, because you get the two points of the two bases, I should say, for the two sides. All right. at King's Landing and Dragonstone. So like I said, we bounced back to Dragonstone and Rhaenyra's having a conversation with, what's her name? Mysyria. She's the one that they had caught last episode that was sneaking in on the ship. That was Daemon's old squeeze back in the day. She was, what was she? The White Worm. She knew like all the secrets of the town, of not the town, of King's Landing and whatnot, with all her spies. So they have a conversation. Rhaenyra realizes that this is the same lady that Daemon had said he was going to marry back in the day when she was a kid. And it's kind of funny how when she realizes, like, her face changes, and then even Mysyria calls her out on it. She's like, oh, now you finally remember who I am. And so they have a conversation till eventually Rhaenyra says, you know what, I'm honorable. Daemon said you can go, so you can go. Like, I'll keep his word. I'll keep my word. And she even provides her passage on a ship to Essos, with a guard to take her there. So she's heading out. She's going down to the ship, and that's when she sees the twin popping back up, and she knows that the other twin's already in the castle, and this guy's coming in now. So she knows something's up. So she makes a split decision. She heads back to the castle to warn them. So then from there we go into one of the twins' perspective. Like I said, I don't remember which one it is, if it's Eric or Eric with the A, but he sneaks in, pretending to be his brother. He's getting past the guards. He's smoozing his way in until he eventually reaches Rhaenyra's room right when she's about to knock out. And she gets up. She says, oh, what's up, Eric? What happened? And this dude, he just takes out the blade. He's like, my bad, but I'm gonna kill you. And then, like, he's walking towards her, and then the door gets kicked in by the other Eric, and he's like, this turned into like Shakespeare or something. He's like, brother. And then they just start dueling, a pretty badass duel, brother on brother, twin on twin. They shared their womb together, and now they're fighting to the death. It wasn't like a long fight, but it was pretty good fight. It's like, and it was epic, like I said, because it's the twins, it's brother on brother, two sides. They really don't want to fight each other, but they're both honor bound by their two sides. One's honor bound to protect Rhaenyra, one's honor bound to kill Rhaenyra. And then, like, during the fight, you kind of like get confused with, like, which is which, like, because they're like identical, wearing the same gear, they talk the same, so they're going at it. You're not really sure which one's going to come out on top, and then whoever wins, you're not sure which one is which. So they're fighting, they're dueling, until eventually one of them pretty much is like down. The other one's walking up to him, but the one that's down grabs his sword and is able to take out the other one. He stabs him in the stomach, and he basically says, like, forgive me, brother. And then, like, as the audience members, we don't know, like, which one it is. I think it's the one that was on Rhaenyra's side, because he turns to Rhaenyra and he says, like, forgive me, your grace. And then he basically kills himself. So what is it, seppuku? like in Shogun, he takes himself out like a samurai, because he just couldn't live with himself for killing his brother. So the two twins, Eric and Eric, they came into the world together, they left the world together, man. It was bittersweet. Like, he was able to protect the queen, but, like, he just felt so bad about killing his brother. And, like, in Westeros, like, they really hate, like, what is it, kinslayers, like, when you kill your own family members. Like, that's like the worst of the worst, almost, for what they believe in. The two Erics, RIP the two Erics, man, where these people were dying left and right. Like, in the first episode, is the young prince was Prince Jaehaerys, and now in episode two, the two Erics are down. Oh, and all the rat catchers, because Aegon had said catch all the rat catchers, and he just killed them all. And when he was arguing with Otto, he said, I mean, the guy said it was gonna be a rat catcher, so we it had to be one of them if we killed all the rat catchers. And he wasn't lying, he wasn't wrong, he did catch one of them. You did catch him, because the dog was there watching him. Like I said, it had a lot of cool scenes, like, throughout. The Aegon, Otto, and Kristen Cole scene was good. The back and forth, the duel, I should say, between the twins, Daemon and Rhaenyra scene was pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of cool scenes throughout. And a good duel at the end, which saw two good knights die. And then, like I said, we saw Daemon heading off to Harrenhal to recapture Harrenhal. all. It was a really overall really, really good episode coming off of the season premiere. It was really, really good. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the next episode. I'm guessing Daemon's going to be taking over Harrenhal and Aegon's still going to be doing some wild shit with Kristen Cole. He got more power. He ended the episode in Allison's room. Like now he feels like he's the shit. He's the big dog. He's just a punk. But overall, I think it was another great episode, another fantastic episode. My top character of the episode, I don't know, those are a few of them. Like I really did like, I'm surprised. I really like how Otto standing up to Aegon and to Kristen Cole. I also surprisingly did like how Aegon reacted. Like it's his son. Like he got mad that Otto was parading his son out there after he got killed, and he just wants the payback. He just wants the revenge. He's hot tempered. He destroyed freaking Viserys' Lego set of all the castles of all the Westeros. That R.I.P. the statues of Westeros, the Lego set. Man, it took Viserys like his whole lifetime to build that. Like I said, overall, it wasn't one character this episode that I really thought was a top character. There was a few standout moments, but definitely there was a bottom characters that mealy bastard Kristen Cole, man. The Game of Thrones, man, they know how to do it. They know how to make you really hate and despise a character. That Kristen Cole, man, he is just such a punk, man. Like, man, like you're gonna go and accuse Eric, one of the twins, of not being there when you banging the kid's grandma while everything was going down, and you sending him to either die or kill his brother. Like, that's fucked up, dude. Like, what the hell? And then you keep falling up. You're not falling down because you keep getting promotions. You're the hand of the king. And by the way, that was a terrible choice as hand of the king. This dude is a terrible choice as hand of the king, but he's bros with Aegon, and like Aegon was like bros before hoes, I guess. But like I said, I really think that was a terrible decision. It might cost Aegon the kingdom, because that's a terrible, terrible hand of the king. I'm not sure who's Rhaenyra's hand of the king. I'm not sure if it's Daemon or I mean, I guess it's probably Daemon, because he's like the toughest on her side. He's the one that who has the armies and the dragon. But I don't think they ever really announce who her hand of the queen is. But we know who Aegon's is Kristen Cole's dumbass. But hey, good for him, man. He keeps working his way up the ranks, man. Like I said, he's my bottom character of the episode. And I'm excited. I'm excited for next week. And it can't get here. Sunday can't get here soon enough, man. But looks like it's that time again, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals, it looks like the ship has returned to the dock. So as always, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one.
Tell Lord Tywin, winter is coming for him. 20,000 Northerners marching south to find out if he really does shit gold.